My family, I'm Candy, I'm an addict.
Amen.
And Barbara was looking at me and asked me, was I nervous? And I said, yeah. And she, you know, did one of these numbers, you know, and that means I love you. And I think what happens is I share a lot, but still when I got to talk about me, I still get nervous. It's so much easier for me to talk about you. It keeps the focus off of me. You know, I thank God for this program of Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. Yesterday marked my 10th year here in this fellowship. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without you people, you know, because we recover. I use, you know, and to show how, you know, how there is a higher power, you need to know that there's also a lower power, and he's very much real and alive, and we'll take over if you let him. You know, I was supposed to come down here Thursday night. I always make plans, but I try not to plan the outcome because it may not work out that way. You know, Thursday I went to get my car serviced, and when I got home, the transmission seal burst, so there was transmission fluid all over my patio, all over my driveway. Wasn't that bad. Mechanic came over there and fixed that up. Got on the road yesterday morning, and the smoke started coming from the tailpipe. So I was like, holy posse, something going on here, you know. Saw the sign say Annapolis and proceeded to call my brother, and he said, well, you know, come and pick up the van, and that's what I did. And we got down here, and last night leaving a meeting, our plans were to go back to the you know, place where we're staying, you know, rest up a few minutes and get back here before the midnight meeting. Well, it didn't work out that way because we ended up sitting in the car from 9:30 till 11 o'clock. And thank God for cellular phones. After you've been here for a minute, you start to get a couple of things. And I thank God for cellular phones because one of my sponsees had her phone on. I called and said, it's your sponsor. I'm in the parking lot by the welcome to the CPRC and a da 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 sign. And I've been here since 9:30. You know, and she came and took us, you know, to the place. And I just went on to sleep. But I was tired, y'all. All this distraction going on. Then it was my anniversary. Just a whole lot of chaos and confusion. I'm not really knowing how to sort out everything. But I know as long as I don't use, things get better. Okay? Some guys had told my sponsees that for me to call them first thing this morning, they were going to fix my van for me because I left the van right out there, flat tire, messed up starter and everything. I just left it. You know, so I call the people early in the morning. Everybody that know me know I get up early in the morning. I make my calls early in the morning. They're like, we still sleep. It's like, oh, man, you know. But it's okay. When I got here, I just kind of sort of saw a guy that taught me how to drive when I got in this program. And every ticket I've gotten has been speeding tickets. You know, he taught me how to drive, and I told him what was going on. And he said, well, here, this is so-and-so, so-and-so, this is Candy, she needs some help. Started my car, fixed the flat, took it back up to the place. And I was supposed to sign in at 4:15. I'm just telling you how the devil kind of works all the time. You know, I was supposed to sign in at 4:15, supposed to meet my sponsor at 3 o'clock, just all hell broke loose, you know what I mean? But I made it here, and nothing's out of order. Everything is in God's time. You know, and when I stop trying to think that it's supposed to go to time, I'm supposed to have it go, things get better. When I think about prejudice, from prejudice to unity, I always bring my basic text. I think that's what I really, really was nervous about. I had my basic text in her car, and I couldn't think straight, you know? When I think about prejudice to unity, I think about a whole lot of things, and I also think about Candy, how I was when I got here and how I am today. And so let me just break a couple of things down a little bit. And if I step on some people's feet, that's pretty much what I intend to do through my own story, okay? Because I can't tell your story. The only story I can tell is mine and how it is for me. You know, but the word pre means before, okay? Bottom line, comes before. Prejudge means to judge somebody without evidence, okay? And prejudice, I had to look this one up because I'm very intelligent, but I want to make sure I get it out right. Prejudice means a preconceived and unreasonable judgment or opinion, usually an unfavorable one, marked by suspicion, fear, or hatred. That's what prejudice means. Some of y'all, I know I'm not guilty of being prejudiced. Okay. To me, in my own experience, prejudice means seeing a newcomer come up to us and ask us for some guidance in their life. And we look at them, and because they hadn't hit a bottom yet, or because they hadn't lost anything yet, or because they were not crawling on the floor like I was, you see what I'm saying? Because they're not peeking out the windows like I was, because they still were functional and able to hold a 9-to-5 like I couldn't, I tell them they ain't ready yet. I start determining whether or not you are fit or unfit for recovery. When the bottom line is, I'm really not trying to take responsibility in guiding you with your life. We, as the predecessors in this program, have a tendency not to make the newcomer the most important person at any meeting anymore. Yet we get together and hug in the circle and say the serenity prayer and the moment of silence for the still suffering addict in and out of the rooms. Yet let them come in the room. Stinky, pissy, smelly, bummy, dirty. You know how we look when we first got here. We don't even want to hold their hand. But I know that's not being prejudiced. I know that's not being prejudiced. I just think we smell a little better than they do today. We just choose not to stand next to them. But know that we are just one hit, one shot, and one drink away from that very person that we're trying to shy away from. So we have to be very, very careful about what we pray for, because God will place it in your life. God will place it in your life just to see whether or not you're working on something. And for real, prejudice is just ruled by hatred, suspicion, or fear. We don't really know. We say we hate white people. Have you ever really got to know any of them? We hate each other. Have we got to really know one another? See, because when I was a newcomer, not working on nothing, because I didn't come in here to work no steps. I don't know about nobody else. I ain't coming here to do no changing, all that stuff. I just wanted to learn how to stop smoking crack, stop crawling on the floor, and stop peeking out the window so my kids could stop looking at me like I was crazy. You see what I'm saying? I ain't coming here for all that other stuff. So what would I do? I was very prejudiced, very judgmental. Don't share nothing in a meeting, and I think you're not, you know, can you believe that she shared that stuff in a meeting? And what did God do? God let some of those same situations happen in my life. And those same people that I prejudged without any evidence, marked by suspicion, fear, or hatred, I had to go right to them and ask them, how did you do this? How did you get on the other side? So I always say, be careful for who you're talking about in these rooms. Because you're really going to end up having to need them if you're open-minded. And if you have the gift of listening, because that's a gift. Because we as addicts like to talk a lot, but we don't want to hear nothing. We don't want to hear nothing. We always say, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. You see what I'm saying? So what I would do is I could see a newcomer come in the room, dressed up, all kinds of nice things going on for them. And I'm jealous because I don't know how to hold on to a job. I don't know how to stay in a healthy relationship. I don't know how to pay my bills on time. I don't even know how to stay in a place past 12 months. But this newcomer coming here still got it going on. I don't even want to help her. I don't want to help her. She thinks she all that. She thinks she did. She dressing up her outside. She doing all this. She doing all that. You don't even know that how much pain that person is in. And the literature tells us, we don't care how much or how little you use, who your connections are, what you've done in the past, but only what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. That's what the literature says. But we don't think about the literature when we're doing our own thing. You see what I'm saying? We don't think about the literature, but that's exactly what it says. You know, help out the newcomer. We don't do that. You know, so I try to the best of my ability, to do the best I can with what I'm working with. Also, being in this program for 10 years, it's 10 years and a day. That's right. You know, I know too that I am human. You know, and being human allows me to make mistakes, but not the same old mistakes. Some new ones. You know, like now when I see a newcomer, I try to pull them up. I try to bring them down here with me. Because see, I don't know about you all, but I can't get down here. I can't be here by myself. I'm telling you, I cannot be here alone. Not that I don't trust me, but I don't trust me. Hold up. I don't trust myself, okay? Because see, I know I'm recovering from a whole lot of other things. And it ain't got nothing to do about drugs. Don't have nothing to do with the drugs. See, because I date people's husbands, people's wives, whatever makes me feel good for the day. Whatever changes my mood is what I will do at any given time. And I always like that saying, who are you when ain't nobody else looking? So sometimes as a direct result of my behavior, I can't sleep. I can't even lay down by myself. I get on my own nerve. Okay? So I have to bring people with me to surround me so that I can not only talk the talk, I can walk the walk. And that's what I have to do for me. And that's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. These women tell me, oh, you helping us. You don't know what you're doing for me. Okay? Because I could but run the best little whole house in Ocean City. Okay? And I'm not trying to live like that today. Because every time I turn around, I have to keep taking baths and keep taking showers and all that stuff. You know, trying to wash that filth away from me. You know, so being prejudiced to me means that I don't have to, being prejudiced is looking at your exterior, trying to judge my interior. And recovery is an inside job. You know, but now there's a flip side to that because it says from prejudice to unity. And the first three letters in unity are you and I. That's the first three letters in unity, you and I. You and I together can do a whole lot of things that I cannot do by myself. That I cannot do by myself. Unity, I wrote myself a little note here. I got my little note right here, you all. Because see, I can't remember a whole lot of things today. And that's okay. I don't have to remember everything. You know what I mean? You know, but I like, see, when we practice unity, we practice acceptance. You know what I mean? I can love you for who you are and not in spite of who you are. That's acceptance. Don't tell me I love you in spite of you. Don't tell me that. You tell me you love me for me because I'm a human being. See, when I was growing up, people say, in spite of all the stuff you do, I still love you. And I grew up telling people the same thing. But as an informed member of this program, I started reading It Works How and Why. I started reading my basic text cover to cover. I started reading More Will Be Revealed, We Do Recover, What Can I Do? I started reading things like that. And I realized, wait a minute, this is a we thing. You see what I'm saying? We. Unity means to me, when I see one of my brothers or my sisters down. See, when we forget about our personal bull crap and come together for the common good of this program. See, because unity, it says in It Works How and Why, and it also says in the basic test, it is a must in this program. Unity is a must in Narcotics Anonymous. Okay? And it talks about the definition of unity, and I sure did write it down. Yes, I did. And it says it 1,000 times. It says it actually 2 times, but to me, when it repeats itself more than once, I like it because it sticks out. In the first tradition, that's what the unity reminds me of, the first tradition. Okay. It says unity, my book is so raggedy, is the spirit that joins thousands of members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. Okay. There is no way in the world I could have been in this program, or I could have been out of this program and tried to do this on my own. This is the best thing God could have ever done for an addict like me. He put me around people who are just like me that don't care if I got a big old mouth that you can hear me all the way down the hall. All the way down the hall. Okay? Who don't care about all that stuff and how I look out here, but worry about what's going on in here. Who don't care whether or not I got a hoop deal or Benz. When I grow up, I'm going to get one of them Benzes, though. Okay? Who don't care about all that stuff. They just want to help me stay clean a day at a time. And for me, there are times when it's just a second at a time. You see what I'm saying? Who, when I got out of this crazy relationship, didn't know, thank you, dear, I didn't know where I was going to go and what I was going to do. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, I like to hold people hostage. And it's people that tell me in my life that cares about me and this program and where I'm going that say, Candy, let go and let God. And I don't know about you all, but God gives me double for my trouble. When he bless me, he be blessing me. You see what I'm saying? But what happens is I have to go to somebody and not worry about what you're going to think about me. I have to remember that we're coming together in unity, okay? So when we pray, we're praying in unity, and we're going to get together to the exact nation and get, you know, for our common purpose in unity. So I don't have to worry about, is she going to call so-and-so when I finish telling her what's going on? I don't think about that today. I know if she calls so-and-so, they'll probably three-way me together. You see what I'm saying? And we pray about it, and we get to the exact nature of it. You know, I also have in here, this came out of Worktown Y. Surrender and acceptance opens the door to unity. As our trust in a higher power grows, it gets easier to stop fighting for what we want. That's right. See, because, just like I said, God give me double for my trouble after I beat up my head up against the wall so many times. And stop fighting for what I want, trying to stop fighting to put the situations the way they're supposed to be, to make this newcomer say these things, to make this newcomer think the way I want them to think, to make this old timer think the way I want them to think. When I stop trying to manipulate things, it all works out for the better. It all works out for the better. I also wrote it down in here where it talks about selflessness. You know, basically what selflessness means is stop thinking about yourself and you can think about the needs of other people. And how in the works, how and why, talking about how we've seen members who can't even stand to see each other in the same meeting. You going to me and say, oh, shit, she's sharing, I'm out of here. But let there be somebody that's going through something, or a 12-step call or anything, how they can put aside their differences. This is unity we're talking about. How we can put aside our differences and come together for the common good. That's very, very important. You don't have to like everybody up in here. I ain't like everybody I smoke with. I ain't like everybody I got high with, but you better damn well know they was all right with me when they had the package. Okay? So I use the same thing. Okay? We might not get along, but you're going to be all right with me when we got to do something that's for the common good in here. That's how I deal with unity. That's how I try to look past the faults and all that other stuff. I don't have time for that. My sponsor, God rest her soul, used to say, if you take 12 hours to mind your business, the other 12 to leave everybody else alone, you really don't have no time. You just ain't got time. But you worrying about what she doing, what she doing, what she doing. There's some things going on here that I'm appalled at. You see what I'm saying? That I'm appalled at. Not that I ain't been there. Whoa, I've been there. Okay, but I'm also talking about certain things that are going on, that are people that are sharing in meetings, doing workshops that I know for sure that are still using. Okay, that are still using today. But it says, that ain't my business. And I think what happens is one more time I start judging and I become jealous and envious because they seem like they're getting away with it. They seem like they're getting away with it. That's my disease. That's my disease. I don't want to get away with it. My sponsor told me, you might get by, baby, but you won't get away. You won't get away. Because if I have a clearance sale, everything must go. Everything. I ain't holding on to nothing. I've accumulated some things since I've been here. May not seem like much, but I know somebody will buy them. For little or nothing. You see what I'm saying? So I have to be very, very careful. And I just don't want to be like that, you all. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I try on a consistent basis to work in unity with people in this program. It's hard at times. We have cause reports for our home group areas and all that kind of stuff. We have group consciousness and we be tripping out and all that stuff. But see, what saves us is when we do the moment of silence and say the we version of the serenity prayer. So everybody's little personal stuff gets kicked to the side, you know. And me being a very influential person that I am, I found today that I try not to even talk to people prior to group consciousness, Because I have a way of turning their minds into the way I wanted to go. So I just don't even talk to people before we have a group conscious. Because I'd be like, girl, you know what? No, she really don't need to be doing this. And she really don't need to. Okay, well, we'll all vote her out then. That's how it used to work. That's how it used to work. But see, coming to this program and working the steps of this Narcotics Anonymous, you develop a conscious, a gut in your own mind. Hey, Roy, you develop all of those things. So you don't have to play this game, this tug-of-war game anymore. We can come together in unity. And that's the blessing of this program. That's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. You know, when we see the newcomers out here, I'm checking out the time. When we see the newcomers and things like that, we really need to make sure that they know that they are important. When we see one another, and don't think just because we've been here 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, we still need to let one another know that we still are important to one another. That I still need you, and you still need me, and together we are we. We need each other. Nobody, there's no big I's and little U's here. There really is not. I stay with newcomers. I don't care. I stay with them. Trip me out. Because I know if I go back out, I'll be just as crazy as they are. But I also found out a lot of times we don't want to help the newcomer out because our behavior is so messed up that you don't know which one is the newcomer and who's the predecessor. Okay? So therefore, we don't want to take that responsibility and work with them. We don't want to do that. I want to live the way I want to live. I want to do the things I want to do. And if I don't have no responsibility, nobody will never know what I'm doing. Nobody will never know that I'm still stealing out the stores. Nobody will never know that I'm still sleeping with people's husbands. Nobody will never know those things because I don't have to take the time and let you in my life. Today I let a lot of people in my life. A lot of people are in my life. And to me, it's a good feeling to be loved. And it's a good feeling to be able to love somebody back. Hi, baby. Love you back. It's a good feeling. A very good feeling. You know, I didn't know that I was prejudiced towards my stepmother, you all, until my father got very sick. My father was sick, and he was on critical list. And his wife asked me for my phone number. I said, you can get it from my mother. And laughed. I said, she's trying to kill my father. Get all overweight and everything. And the funny thing about it, we shaped just alike, so you know I'm scared, too. Okay, she feeding him all that greasy stuff and trying to kill him. And I said, I wonder who name on the policy. You know, my brother said, our name is. I said, no, because she feeding him stuff. She don't want. She on that policy. You know, just prejudging her. Ain't got no evidence. That's what prejudice means. You know, prejudging people without evidence, usually untrue statements based on suspicion, fear, and hatred. I hated her, but it really wasn't her that I hate. My father ain't never been there for me. I probably was hating him for real. And realized that now I have to be a daughter because he needs me. Why should I be there for him when he was never there for me? Why? And yeah, he called me and asked him, bring him some jazz CD. I picked up liking jazz from them, from my father's side. You know, bring him some jazz CD. I got to run all the way up Georgetown. I don't feel like doing all of that. But I ain't get clean for me. Okay? I did not get clean just for me. And when it say practice these principles in all our affairs, it just does not mean be nice to you folks in Narcotics Anonymous. And go home and cuss my daughter out. And go home and cuss my son out. And go home and don't cook no food. Go home and don't be a mother. When somebody on the outside of Narcotics Anonymous needs me, I don't feel like being bothered. But let somebody in Narcotics Anonymous call me and I'm right there and they just love some candy. That's not what it means. Practicing unity for me is in all my affairs. You know, I really didn't even want to take the time to build a relationship with my daughter. She's too much like me. It's too much damn work. Okay? Two of us running around there. I just told you there are times when I can't even stand myself. And then do you really think I can stand her too? Okay, it didn't work like that, but God placed me in a position where I just got a new home and all kinds of stuff, and I gave my daughter the keys to my house. Like, good God, bye. She's there every night checking on me. She's been checking on my place while I'm here. Been calling me, and we act like we're the best of friends, and I keep saying, God, okay, when is the bubble going to burst? Because something get kicked off, and I just know it. I just know it, but it hasn't. And I don't have to act like the candy that everybody used to know anymore. I ain't got to do all that. I tell you, all these different faces and masks and stuff, I'm tired of living like that. Today, I am her mother. Today, I am her friend. And when she comes to me and shares with me, see, because when we talk about unity, I have to come to you all, too, to see how I'm supposed to treat these situations. Okay? So when we talk about, when she comes to me and shares with me some things, I can share my own experience, strength, and hope. And don't say, well, girl, I'll just take a knife and stab his ass. Because that's the mother she used to know. I'll fight you in a minute. But I just share my own story without the violence. You know what I mean? And she'd be like, you know, Mom, that's real. That's real. And I just tell her, I said, you know, you married around the same time I married. The same relationship is crazy and chaotic. And, you know, you're just going to have to go through your process. Now, any other time, I'd be like, girl, leave him. If he hits you, call me. I will f*** him up. You know, I just can't do that today. Because how many times did I go through the same thing with my husband? My brothers and them beat that poor man down. And they come over there the next week, and we right back together. So I try not to get involved in those things today. I just want to be there for them. I want to be there for the newcomer. And if you see me behaving in any way that is not sufficient, first of all, know that I'm human, but don't let me die. Pull me up on it. I have an open mind. I might, like Charles say, try to justify the most outrageous of nonsense. I'll beat you down with it now. But still, don't let me die, because I don't have all the answers and I don't know it all. I truly don't. I'm still open. I'm still teachable. I'm still learning. I still have a very, very open mind. And I'm still excited about recovery. Very excited about recovery, because there's no way in the hell I could have done this by myself. There's no way. Anybody can use the desire to lose the desire to use. That's why when you're only supposed to talk 15 minutes, because all after that you start mumbling and jumbling and things get all caught up and crossed up and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to tell the newcomer, give yourself a chance. Just give yourself a chance. I dare you. Give yourself a chance. You have run out of all excuses. This year marks the second year that I don't have my sponsor sitting right there. The second year. Don't be mistaken, I do have a sponsor today. Okay? But I had one sponsor for 8.5 years. This marks the second year that she's not front and center. But you need to know that a whole lot was instilled in me before God took her out of here. So I don't have any more excuses. I used to say if my mother died or somebody died or da-da-da-da-da, I think I would go back out. Hell no! For what? They coming back? Because if smoking crack brings somebody back, I should have been smoking a long time ago and pull them all back out here. Life goes on. Situations go on. Lay your bull crap to the side and work together for the common good of this program. Show people that are in question that this program does work. Newcomers get a whole lot of hope when they come in here and see us all laughing and smiling and hugging one another and loving one another. That's hope, because it was hope for me. When I had 30 days clean, I asked somebody, do you think somebody going to love us like that? Do you think they're going to love us like that? You think we ever going to get a year, 1 year? So that was hope for me. So when we think about ourselves, it ain't all about us. It's about these people around you. It's about these newcomers out there. It's about the still suffering addict that we pray for. We pray for them and God bring them to us. Work with them. Don't turn your back on them. I'm Candy, I'm an addict. Thanks for letting me share.
And for our next speaker, I give you Vernon P.
Good evening, group. I'm Vernon P., and I'm a very, very, very grateful recovering addict. Knowing and owning, but by the grace of God, that I'm here today. And I just come off the golf course, got me a little rest, and walked over here and sat down and listened to some meetings. Well, that was my plan. Somebody caught me in the hallway and asked me would I do a workshop. So I'm here. I didn't get my homework done like I was hearing her, but I don't work with the homework too good no how. I can shoot it from the hip. Because that's what's real with me. And that's what I like about Narcotics Anonymous. They said keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And complication is what I lived in for many, many, many years. Because I was always trying to just not accept it like it is. It must be another way. I can do it different. And I learned here, it was one of my biggest assets of coming in here was the intellect died. Because I remember when my sponsor told me, he said, "Hey, do you have a sponsor yet?" I told him, "No." He said, "Well, I'll be your sponsor." I said, "Okay." And I was on my way home, and he asked me for a ride home. I drove him home, and as we drove home, he said to me, "You look like an old stubborn-ass man." I was 54. Said, "We're going to take that old stubborn-ass brain you got, bring you in the room, put it in a plastic bag, set you down, and teach you how to live." And I drove on home, and I thought about it. And as I was at laying across the bed after I got home, I laid back and put my head in my hands, and I said, "Damn, wonder do he know who in the hell he really talking to?" But I didn't so much pay attention to him. I thought about thinking about what he said. And that was my first suggestion, and I took it. And I said, "I believe if I can do it just for a weekend, I don't have to use no more." And I took that suggestion, and I haven't used since. But I'm here tonight to kind of talk about what it really means to start growing up in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And finding out early in my life, as I lived my life, I was a very, very, very prejudiced person. Because prejudice, at my age, time growing up, everything was, if you had it, envy and prejudice was a way of life. If you were big, I didn't like you. You ain't did one thing. You haven't said one thing. It was just something that people was social acceptable in. And they had a thing out. Then it was a lot of beaches. And the big women had it going on. They had the men. And they used to call the women, the little women, skinny mini. And a guy named Joe Tex made a song, "Who gonna get that skinny woman over there, something, a bum woman, or something like that," you know. I mean, it was hard. It was hard on little women. And it wouldn't be nothing to get cut on Saturday night if you messed with one of them big women. So you learn to kind of get envious of, and got hate built up in you for all kind of damn reason. I don't know. I can't even start to tell you, but it was all there. My mother had two children. My mother's sister had 16 children. So them two little children, my mother was called Sissy. Them two children of Sissy, we was always put down. We weren't equal to because we were just two of us. So that envy and hate came right in through that stuff like that, and you just kind of, you lived through it and cut it. It wasn't about the white and the black as much as it was. See, we had another thing here, and the high schools, you were separated out and sorted through and put through just because, and it was in the Washington area, it was four high schools, but Dunbar was for the real bright-skinned people. So, man, it was a school prejudice that went on. It was so terrible. And we just got that thing in and started hating. and fighting and doing and trying to destroy because of dumbness. That to me is what prejudice is all about. And my story tells me how the self-centeredness that I had, how I would be in a triangle of, because of my low self-esteem about myself, I didn't like myself. I had this birthmark on my face. It wasn't just bad being black. It was bad also having black with a birthmark on your face. You was troubled. You was sunk deeper. So we got into this thing here. It used to be called a Jones. I don't know if a lot of y'all know about it or not. But they would talk about you and put you down and slam you down so bad and really hurt you. They could hurt you with their mouth, and they did it. So the rearing up of the prejudice inside came from so many ways. We were just too, you know, uneducated to even figure out this stuff. How do you deal with it? The only way you dealt with it was that you got in some type of a clique or some type of a group or some kind of something to help you just get through that situation. And we had a assembly hall at school, and if your mother was poor, you didn't do good. If you had on hand-me-down clothes or didn't have the latest this or the latest that. So prejudice comes from every which way. There is no one way I can sit here tonight and say prejudice. If you got a new car, you was something wrong. You know, you done did something. You done did this, you did that. So it was living through and getting through what we got through the best way we could with what we had. But thank God for today. Thank God because I've come in here and I have been able to look in my life. I've been able to see those things. I can see some of the things that caused me all of the self-destructive behavior patterns that I use. Like I was sharing about the anger, the fear, and the resentment. That's all I knew. That's what I used. That's how I got by. And that was called self-centeredness, self-righteousness, self-pity, self-worth, self-reliance. It was a prison of self that I lived in. And what unity do, as unity have done in here, is that it's tore down those barriers. It's opened up those doors. It's moved back those strongholds that clutched and held and just kept on, you know, taking you out of the space that you're in and allowing somebody else to work with you in another way that they wanted to move you and twist you. Then it moved on to the clubs and things, you know, back in the days, you know, it's where you hung out at and who you hung out with. And we all know about the cliques. We know what corner we went on. We know what was favored out there, who would accept us, what we did and how they did it. So it got on to the other thing that we did, the attraction of the behavior that I live. Oh, I think they got a word out now. I was so dumb when I was doing drugs, I didn't know one from the other. It's whatever the girl said. I always had to get me a girl to go get high with. You know, and because I didn't know how to roll a joint. I didn't know one from the other. Right now, after all the years that I did what I did, I didn't know one thing from the other. I just did it. They said, Vernon, it's all right. And I did that. So I didn't, you know, really know how to pick and choose things. And they say the word picker. I don't know right today, but I'm learning because of the things I've learned in here. That I know the people in here, they tell you the truth.
That's right.
Most of the time. Maybe they don't mean no harm if they say something that's untrue, because sometimes we would grab up more than we really know what we're doing and tell somebody else. Then sometimes, you know, you probably went to a group and somebody would start something going on there and say, I tell you, I read it in the basic text. They have never read a basic text in their life. You know, so a lot of informing ourselves is so important. It's not like it was what was going on, what's hip and what's slick and what's getting over. And here you get with a group. And my thing is that I go to a lot of meetings, and I go to get a lot of information from people that is living the program. You can tell 12-step is. You can tell 12-step work. You can tell people that's working the program because there's unity. Mm-hmm. And in that unity, whether you want to or not, you
that's
live
right.
it.
That's right.
We were coming in the parking lot just now, and there was a big bus getting through, and a guy in front of me, he had a new Cadillac, and he had got out and he had did the lean, and he had laid back, and the bus could almost have scraped his car, but it was just cluttering up. And that behavior will tell you right away, ain't nobody working no step work in that situation. And there was a guy come up the street, what step are they on, you know? So we are seeing right here in this convention, and I was hearing Jan talk about using candy. You know, people think you got to have a drink or a drug to say you're using. You can use that old behavior. You can use those old ways. You can have that body language and those emotional moves that you make on people. That's worse than taking a hit. Because it confuses people, especially up in here, because you think you're safe. You won't believe you're safe, because I know I did. But once I felt that I could take my guards down, because for a while I couldn't even go to a meeting and sit in a row. I want to sit even to the side and look back. I want to look all around me in order to sit in that meeting. But here it's not like that. I practice myself now to turn myself to get in a row of seats and go over in the middle of the seat so I don't be on the end where I don't have to worry about if somebody's at my back or not. I think the word that I learned in the second step in here that was trust.
That's right.
I think those are the key words that you have to learn in here in order to start to change. Trust, hope,
right.
Love, care, willingness, honesty, and to be able to collectively come together, share with the newcomer, take them up and love them. It sounds like it's hard, but trust me, I remember one night I had a sponsee and he was suffering with AIDS. And he was dying. And I was at my house that night, and I'd been to a meeting to come home, and I had this terrible pain in my back. Terrible pain. Well, you know, if you got a pain in your back, you sound like, what in the world that's coming from? But if you get a pain in your chest, oh my God, something wrong with my heart. Well, he encouraged me thoroughly to go to the hospital, Vernon, there's something wrong. I did, and I got to the hospital, I was having the second heart attack. And I'm saying that because of how important it is to don't separate out, don't pick and choose, don't have prejudice, don't separate the skinny from the big, the dark from the light, the white from the black, or whatever. Because this is a therapeutic, life-saving, living way. There is no prescription for the way we live in Narcotics Anonymous. It is through a spiritual healing. There's nobody in here can tell you how to do this program. I've heard a lot of people with old time, no time, new time. But there is no way to figure out this healing that go on here. It's only through grace. Only through mercy and grace that we are who we are right today. And when we step out of the grace, we are right back into our old way. Self-centeredness, self-righteousness, self-pity, self-reliance. All of those selves will come right back, and they'll wrap you right back up in the pain. I had the experience of working with sponsees who got the picket fence, got the car, got the husband, got the new job. And I seen them call me. I've heard them call me. But I seen the life, how it changed. I seen the first thing started to happen. No defense to the ladies, but they started to lose that feminist, that grip, that taking care of themselves, the nails and the do and all of that. They started to get the do rag and the slides and shit around the house, you know, and all of that self esteem started to go away. I went in this pocket and found these numbers, and all of that dumb stuff come right back. And the whole grip. And my only thing to them is get back to your meetings. Stop living the way that we are taught to live. Be self-encouraged, to encourage self to be a better person. Don't let nobody take you out of you, because you are the most precious person in the world. And you got to tell yourself that on a day-to-day basis. You can't just take for granted that somebody else going to tell me I look good. You got to get good and get looking good and smell good and walk good and talk good and be good. And if you walk in the 12-step program and you living this program, you're going to be all of that and some more. Because what nobody can tell you is what you can tell yourself. If you love you, and what this program is a whole batch of love chopped up in all different kind of pieces. It starts out with, how willing am I to help somebody else? How willing am I to go to a meeting? How willing am I to go and be a part of that meeting, get in service? Spend some time before the meeting and some time after the meeting. Where it used to be in the old-fashioned recovery. I remember we used to get out of the meeting and go, and we had the meeting after the meeting. We'd be down in Queenstown, and we'd have this great long table of stuff, because it was so much, as young as we were in recovery, that we needed. We just couldn't get it in an hour, because the meeting used to just be an hour one time. And it just didn't enough get, we didn't feel enough. So it's so important to start learning how to form that unity. Mm-hmm. And it's to me, unity is love.
That's right.
I belong to the Knights of Columbus. It's an organization, and it goes by degrees. And I remember how they took a mop one night and showed us what unity meant. And they took that mop and they took one strand out of it, and you could take it and break it in all different pieces. But the minute you grabbed all those strands together and tried to pull them, there's no way you will ever break it. So in our living, right in here, we have the most precious gift that you could ever get. We got more power than anybody got, anywhere you go. And we are afraid of it. We will take it and pull them strands and separate them, and one by one, they just as, like I talked about that mop, they'll just pop and break. But the unity of one addict helping another, the unity of each of us staying together through whatever the situation is, you have a whole world of strength. I remember when my first year at Christmas time, the emotionless time of life, I lost three people, I think it was four people, right in a row in my family. And I was sitting in the funeral home one night, and this person came in, and I felt something on my arm just rubbing it. And I was numb, I was hurting so bad. But just that hand, that rub, eased that pain for that minute. It was one of us. I have, in my experience here, have seen situations that I don't be without one of y'all too long.
That's right.
Eva, I'll see you in the car, at the store, at the movie, somewhere. You just ain't left alone. And it encourages me to trust this program and trust the unity of this program. And it just feels so good sometimes just go to a meeting. If I'm late, if I can just go to a meeting and hang on the back of the room just to touch the spirit. And that's what we'll be touching in here. We'll be touching each other's spirit. And one of the most pleasing things that I've really have gotten pleasure with is to go to a meeting and see somebody that I saw only one time as I led a group meeting in some area, that they'll come up and say, it was just something that you said. I'm still here. That's the joy. That is the joy that we have no control over. We have nothing to do with. That's that part about the spiritual part of this program and not being able to figure it out. Because if it was, and it is no reward, it is no instant gratification or you getting something right away, you don't get it like that. It is to keep coming back and keep on doing what you're doing. I remember once I was doing a meeting. It was on a ship. It was 40 different nations attending that meeting. And I was leading that meeting. And the program read in the plan for the day was Friends of Bill's after dinner. And I remember how, even out in the middle of the ocean, out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, all them addicts was in that meeting, how good it felt. Rough water and all. I was all right because I was with y'all, you know what I'm saying? And it was just a thrill. And to me, this is such fun. You know, we was on the golf course today, and I mean, it must have been 30, maybe 40 of us, all dolphins. You know, out there with $100,000 worth of equipment and playing that challenge that golf course, and nobody drinking and nobody smoking, you know, and just having the thrill of life and the peace and serenity of even in our play, we can have joy. You know, so it is so important to don't just be here at this convention and see people coming together. And I heard somebody share last night about we got holiday addicts and we got convention addicts. As long as we got addicts that are not using and have found a new way of life, so be it. But God is working with you, and if it comes to your time that you will come to a meeting, the seed is planted. All we can do is just hold on to one another and give them a chance to grow up. You know, I had to, like everybody else, I moved up a little bit last year too. I went into this very expensive home. And so much work went in there with it. Shit, man, I ain't really. Man, only I'll get to, sometime I'll get to a meeting because I got so much of that honey-do list. Y'all know what that is. So I try to do that too. I try to bring that as a part of my common welfare, which comes first. And personal unity depends on our common welfare. So we have to make sure we keep everything in the right perspective. So prejudice and unity, the best thing can happen to you is prejudgment. Don't get into prejudgment. Just don't get into prejudgment, because the person that I found out that I used to have this serious problem with, and the things I used to have this problem with, especially with heavier women, it wasn't nothing that these women did. I found out now that that's the best love that you can get. I mean,
I know that.
You know, I come in here, and let me tell you, them first 30 days, I was hanging on to them fat women. They felt good, and I didn't have to. I had to go back out there and just to get some, you know, freaking. Anyway, so I'm a fella. You know, I love all people today, and some of my best buddies. You know what I'm saying? And the love that they have, and you know, I truly believe that things that we done judged, we picked, and we choose, we just robbed ourselves. The 11 steps say, if you take anybody and put them in a category and leave them there, you know, rob yourself of getting to know somebody on a grand scale that might be mean everything to you, help you through a lot of situations, you know. And then when I look back at it, I ain't come from no bunch of little people. Everybody in my family was big, man. I had one skinny uncle, you know. I remember I got up there around 3-something, and I lost that, you know. I come in here now, I'm cruising to 2, around 2 and 2.10, but I had to do this because of my health, you know, try to stay where I can kind of manage that at. And that's another thing about how we need one another, because some of us and all of us gonna live life on life terms, and as we live life on life terms, life things is gonna happen. And somebody have had the experience that you're gonna have, or even you have already had the experience that they're gonna have, and that it's important that we can share this with one another. When I came in here, I was a diabetic. And I've been a diabetic since I was 38, in 1968, I think, I became a diabetic, knowing it. And I've lived with it. I was wondering when I was going to get down to that. But anyway, that's how important it is now that we, those of us, women have situations. All my life, raising daughters and cousins, and I have a friend who has 10 sisters, so there's a lot of things I have experienced information on from living in and around women a lot of my life. So I sponsor, I maybe two or three women. And they have life situations, they have experiences that they go through, and fortunate that I had some information I could share with them. And that helped them through a situation they was going through. And each one of us sitting through here that ain't actually taking care of ourselves, afraid to go to the doctors, of men with the prostate thing, we have a responsibility to ourselves and to the newcomer to go take that examination, check out your health. Women, y'all know, y'all have to go take care of yourself. And together, we can all come together and talk to one another and take up the fear. Because, you know, fear will lock us up and kill us. Because we ain't went to the doctor because, you know, it's so important that we have been come out of those holes, went through that war of drugs and the labor of drugs, and we got here, and now we're going to allow ourselves just to wither down and die because of fear. Mm. I'm going to say this, then I'm going to close. We were in a meeting one night, and a lady was sitting there. And a lady was sitting beside her, and she sat there with a headache so bad that she couldn't hold her head up, she couldn't stand the light. But she didn't know how to ask nobody for help. And when they stood up for the prayer, a lady's bag fell over right beside her, and a bottle of Tylenol fell out the bag. Thank y'all.